Hi, this is Maddie Roast, host of The Fame Game, and this is our Future is Missing. Please be on the lookout for 14-year-old Vera Araceli from Arlington, Texas. She went missing from Arlington April 29, 2011 at 4 p.m. She is Hispanic, 5'1", 120 pounds, black eyes, and black hair. She may be in the company of a male who is an adult. Vera has pierced ears and braces. She also goes by the nickname of Lion. If you know of Vera's whereabouts, please contact the National Center of Missing and Exploited Children's Hotline at 1-800-THE-LOSS. That's 1-800-843-5678. To see a picture of Vera Araceli, please click on the link on the Voice America homepage, Our Future is Missing, or go to ourfutureismissing.com. Thank you.
This is VoiceAmericaKids.com. Places, everyone. Get ready for Curtain Call on the Voice America Kids channel. This show will take you inside, on stage, and behind the productions in the world of theater. Now, here are your hosts.
Welcome back to the program on Voice America Kids Network.
I'm Sky.
And I'm Haley. You're listening to Curtain Call.
All right, so we're going to be talking about one of our favorite shows, The Glee Project.
Yes, and just to let you guys know, to refresh you about what this TV show is, it's about, it's a reality show to see who's going to be the next character on Glee.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And they started out with, like, 12 people, and now they're at the bottom four.
Mm-hmm.
So
we're going to talk about the last couple of episodes that they've had.
Mm-hmm.
So about 4 weeks ago, they had an episode, and their guest judge slash mentor was Max Adler, and he plays Dave Karofsky,
mm-hmm.
the bully on Glee.
Okay, and I haven't really seen this one, so I'm just going to be here sort of helping Haley out if, like, she needs it.
Mm-hmm. And then for their homework assignment, they did Bulletproof, and the winner was Marissa, because they said she had real feeling, and she was really passionate about it, yet she still kind of was, like, fierce what they wanted to see. And so their music video, they did Ice Ice Baby and Under Pressure. They did, like, a mashup of the two songs.
Mm-hmm.
And they really challenged the kids this week because they decided to throw
slushies at them.
Yes. So pretty much the whole entire music video, they were throwing real frozen slushies at them.
Mm-hmm.
And normally I've seen, like, backstage things on the real Glee, and they use warm slushies. They don't use freezing cold slushies. So
mm-hmm. They
were...
Wasn't it, like, in the beginning they used cold slushies and then they moved it to warm?
Mm-mm, they just kept the cold slushies the whole entire time.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
So they were kind of giving the kids a hard time, because normally on the actual TV show Glee, they use warm slushies, so
mm-hmm.
it was kind of crazy because they were being slushied and in the face and in the eyes, and mm-hmm. by the time the song was over, they were just, like, their eyes were, like, bright red, and they were just, like, shivering.
Oh my gosh.
And so the last chance recital people, which is the bottom three, were Alex, Marissa, and Cameron. And they said that Alex, I guess, wasn't trying hard enough. Like, that's pretty much the case of Alex. Every single episode, he's been in the bottom three because mm-hmm. he hasn't tried hard enough. So mm-hmm. it's kind of a regular thing now. And Marissa, this was a big surprise because she had won the homework assignment. But they put her in the bottom because they said that she was giving off a different energy than she was earlier on, and she was kind of more relaxed other than, like, fierce. So she kind of flipped it around.
Mm-hmm.
And then Cameron, he kept freaking out that it was so cold. Like, they kept having to stop, dry off his clothes, and do, like, a retake when everybody else got it on the first one. He was having a lot of technical problems. So they did their last chance performances, and Alex did.
And I'm telling you, I'm not going.
And it was really amazing. He's a really great singer.
Mm-hmm.
And then Marissa did
Hate on Me.
Mm-hmm. And Cameron did
Love Can't Wait.
And this was an original song that he wrote, and it's called Love Can Wait. And it was a good song, kind of slow, but it was still good. And surprisingly, Marissa was eliminated.
Mm-hmm. which we liked Marissa, but she was like, we had other favorites. Like, we really like Alex right now.
Mm-hmm. So. Since Mateus was eliminated, and then you'll hear some other news soon. But then the next episode that we're going to talk about was about 3 weeks ago, and the guest judge slash mentors were Mark Salling, I believe, and he plays Noah, and, well, Puck. That's what everybody calls him because his last name is Puckerman. And then Ashley Fink, which plays Lauren.
Mm-hmm.
So?
And so it was sort of like all about, like, just a bunch of
they have to have, like, pairs together.
Sorry, I couldn't place the words.
Yeah, so, like, partners. Yes, partners is what that is called. And their homework assignment was Like a Virgin. And the winner was Samuel. And then the music video, they did Teenage Dream. So everybody was, like, in pairs of two. So it was Hannah and Cameron, Lindsay and Damien, and who were the other two? I think it was Samuel and Alex or something.
I'm not sure.
Yeah, something like that. But they all had to do these pairs together. And then the last chance recital, which was the people that were in the bottom.
And it was Alex, Cameron, and Damien.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you're listening to Voice America Kids Network. This is Curtain Call. I'm Skye.
And I'm Haley. So we just talked about how they're doing the last chance recital. Mm-hmm. Alex, Cameron, and Damien were in the bottom, and me and Skye agree that they should have definitely been in the bottom because they did not do a very good job. All of the didn't really do a good job.
Yeah, so Alex sung I Will Survive, and it was really good. He sung it with, like, a lot of power and stuff. But
yeah, and it just, like, whenever he starts really quiet and then, like, rips the microphone off and just starts, like, walking around, it's really cool.
Yeah.
Cameron sang Blackbird by the Beatles.
Which was really sad.
Yeah, because I remember when they did it on Glee and Kurt sang it to Blaine when the bird died.
I cried in that one.
Yeah, that was a really sad episode, so that song really reminded me of it. And then Damien, he sang Danny Boy. It's like an original classic. So they said Alex was good. You know, he passes, just like always. Damien...
They said he didn't do good. They didn't like it, but he said he's Irish, and Danny Boy's an Irish song. He always sings it, like, in all of his
and they just said it was, like, just, if he, Damien just said, I always do this song. It's really easy for me to sing it. And then they said, well, if you always do this song, why wasn't it that good? They're like, I was expecting it to be better from you since you sing this all the time.
Mm-hmm. So they were thinking that they were going to eliminate him. That was what they were going to do.
And then, but, surprisingly...
Mm-hmm. And Cameron and Damien were, like, really good friends. Mm-hmm. Like, they were the best friends ever, and they've been together for, like, I don't know how many weeks.
Mm-hmm. And so they've been the best friends, and all of a sudden, Cameron, he decides he's going to quit the competition.
Just for Damien. Mm-hmm. So Cameron
quits to save Damien, which is cool, yet at the same time shouldn't have done that because that shows he's kind of, like...
Yeah, you know, it was like his big break.
Mm-hmm, and he kind of just gave it up.
Mm-hmm.
But
it's really nice of him, too.
Yeah. So Damien's in, and so is Alex. So, yeah, me and Skye right now are rooting for Alex at this point since Mateus is gone. All of our favorites are gone now.
Mm-hmm.
The next episode was with Jenna Ushkowitz. I think that's how you pronounce it. She plays Tina in Glee. And she was the guest judge. And as the homework assignment, they did True Colors.
And True Colors was one of the songs she sung on the show.
Mm-hmm.
So, and she was really good at it. I have it on my iPod and stuff like that. It's really good. It's one of my favorite songs.
But instead of having them do the homework assignment as a group, they had to do it individually. So it took a long time for everybody to sing the whole entire song.
Mm-hmm.
But everybody did a very nice job.
Mm-hmm. And for their music video, they did The Only Exception.
Mm-hmm. So this whole entire episode is just about, you know, they have to be believable. They have to be real and true. True Colors, it's kind of like a...
Mm-hmm.
Kind of that giveaway right there. Mm-hmm. And, oh yeah, the winner of the homework assignment was Hannah.
Uh-huh. She did really, really good on it. I really loved her voice in that song.
Mm-hmm. And while they were doing The Only Exception... it wasn't really a dance video, so these were the problems. Damien, his problem is that since he couldn't be dancing the whole video, they were just, like, sitting and watching everybody because they're, like, one person's in love with somebody, but they're in love with somebody else, and it's a giant circle. about the person they're in love with is in love with someone else, and it's just a giant circle.
Yeah.
And it's just kind of like going around the room. The camera's just going around the room.
And it was actually sort of sad because everybody was all like really sad and they looked like they were going to cry or something. And it was just like, I don't know. It was so terrible. Well, it was really good, but it was just so sad.
Yeah. So in this episode, the bottom were Hannah, Lindsay, and Samuel. Mm-hmm. And Hannah was eliminated. It's weird because the winner always gets eliminated.
Yeah.
In this next episode, which has just happened recently, Generosity, and the guest judge was Kevin McHale, and he plays Artie.
Mm-hmm. And a fun fact about Glee is that Artie, he's actually one of the best dancers on the show, they say, that, like, he actually is, but he's not able to, like, walk in the show.
Mm-hmm.
But he can actually, like, yeah.
Yeah, so their homework assignment was Lean on Me, and Lindsay won.
Mm-hmm.
So then the music video they did was Sing by My Chemical Romance. And since it was Generosity, they had to have kids be with them. Little children that's like a mini-me. It looks like a exact replica of them, but, you know, 2 feet shorter. And these little kids had to sing and dance along with them, do the music video with them. And they were really cute.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody had to do a last chance recital for this episode. All four people instead of the three. And Alex, Lindsay, Damien, Samuel. It was really hard for the judges to choose who got eliminated, so they didn't eliminate anyone. So no one is eliminated in this episode, and probably next week there's going to be two eliminations, and then the finale.
So, or possibly, there's either three or two more episodes. We're so excited to see who wins.
They might add an extra one, but we're not quite sure. So we're waiting to see that. Make sure you guys watch the Glee Project. Mm-hmm. The next episode is Gleeality. It's the 10th one.
So, let's take a break. I'm Skye.
And I'm Haley.
Keep it right here. You're listening to Voice America Kids.
Stay connected. Sign up for our newsletter. Go beyond your favorite Voice America shows. Visit iradioblog.com. Kids these days are so connected to the media that they can't help but be surrounded by news and politics. Today's kids get more information than kids of past generations, and because of that, they have more informed opinions. Kids today may not be able to vote yet, but they can certainly influence voters and issues with their voices. Tune in every week for America Today and talk about the issues and influence the decision makers. America Today airs every Thursday at 4 p.m. Pacific Time, 7 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Kids channel.
Now there's a new destination for video content, VoiceAmerica.tv, just like our radio channels and so much more. Voice America Variety, Health and Wellness, Business, Sports, Green Talk, Power Up Motorsports, and Seventh Wave Network now have their own video channel components. Plus, check out exclusive programming, including movies, music, educational courses, science and history, current events, and short features. High-definition, premier-quality programs available 24/7. VoiceAmerica.tv. If you think you've seen online TV like this before, let us surprise you.
Behind the Line is all about the inside of sports from a kid's point of view. This is a look at all of the action from behind the line. Join your host every Wednesday at 3 p.m. whether you're a kid or was a kid at some time in your life. We'll run down all of the scores, talk about the games of the past week, and preview what's coming up in the next week. You'll want to take notes because this is good stuff. The place to be Wednesdays at 3. That's 6 p.m. Eastern is the Voice America Kids channel for Behind the Line. Want to laugh yourself silly over the crazy happenings of the celeb world and beyond? Tune in to Behind the Mask on Voice America Kids. Your hosts will uncover the celebrities you know and love, along with some that you might not know in this country, but they are admired across the world. But it's not just the famous that need to look out. We'll look inside the music biz, stage, and of course, the big screen. Listen to Behind the Mask every Thursday at 8 p.m. on Broadway and 5 p.m. Hollywood side on the Voice America Kids channel.
This is Curtain Call on the Voice America Kids channel. Now, back to the show.
Welcome back to the program on Voice America Kids Network. I'm Skye.
And I'm Haley. This is Curtain Call. So now we will talk to you about the production we're in right now, Beauty and the Beast Junior.
Which is going to be amazing. Like,
amazing.
Way overly amazing. It's going to be just so good. You guys all have to come see it.
Yes. Yeah. And Sky, may I ask you, where is this wonderful production playing?
At the Fountain Hills Community Theater in Arizona. Where else?
I know. So everybody should come down here to the Fountain Hills Theater. It's in the youth department.
Oh, I'm sorry. I said community theater. They switched it from community to took the word community out of the theater.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So the first show of the season is Disney's Beauty and the Beast Jr., mm-hmm. which we're really excited for. It's a really fun show. And so right now we're going to talk about our roles. I am narrator number 3. So I'm one of the narrators. And it's really fun because it's just, I don't know, it's kind of like that character when it's like, you know, everything's going to happen. Mm-hmm. It's like you're just explaining everything. And it's the first time I've ever had a character like this. It's really fun.
Mm-hmm. And she's in all the big dance numbers and everything. So cool.
It's crazy, but it's fun.
Yeah, and the dance numbers are going to be really good.
So, and then Sky.
I'm the booth captain.
Ooh. But she is going to be in charge of lights and sound, which is amazing because I've done that before. It's really fun.
Yeah, it's fun. But after you sit there for a long time, you don't really have anything to do. So you like bring a book to read or something like that. Mm-hmm. But it's so much fun being able to watch the show every day and be with all your friends and everything at the theater.
To know like you have that responsibility, like the director like trusts you that much to be the booth captain. Mm-hmm. It's like a really big honor to be that.
Mm-hmm.
And okay, so we'll talk about some of the characters. So the girl who's playing Belle, we probably talked about her before. Her name is Peyton Jordan.
Uh-huh, and she's also been Alice in Alice in Wonderland.
She's been pretty much all of the princesses and all of the main female roles.
Mm-hmm.
So you'll probably hear a lot about her.
Yeah, she has an amazing voice.
Mm-hmm. She's actually going to be directing a show pretty soon. We'll talk about that later.
Yeah.
But she is playing Belle, and it's just amazing. She's like, she just fits the role perfectly. She has a beautiful voice.
Uh-huh.
And now we're going to talk about the Beast.
Which is played by Mushy.
Which is, his real name is Nick Maddox, but his nickname is Mushy.
I don't know if he ever even, I don't know if he ever even answers to Nick.
Yeah, he normally just answers to Mushy now, so. But he is the Beast, and it's a really big challenge for him. It's a very big character to take on and a very big costume to take on.
Mm-hmm.
So, but it's going to be really fun.
Mm-hmm.
And Gaston is, as you all know, he is kind of like the creepy, like, the guy who's going to try to steal Belle. I don't know why I just said creepy. He acts like he's, like, the best guy in the world and everybody loves him, but in real life, he's, like, a really bad guy and... Mm-hmm.
He's like all the girls are in like love with him and everything. Mm-hmm. So,
yeah, but it turns out like he's really bad. But he is played by Trevor Bowler. He's actually new to our theater, but our friends Danny and Jody, they actually like brought him to our theater. So it's really cool. He's really nice.
Yeah. And then so now some of the big, huge costume pieces in the castle. It's going to be... So we have the biggest cast ever at the Fountain Hills Theater.
Mm-hmm. So normally the casts in the theater range from 10 to 27. And, yes, I know, that's a really wide range. And some of the smaller plays, in a play, there's like 9 or 10 people sometimes. But in musicals, they always need a lot of ensemble. So sometimes there's like 27 is the most they've had. Well,
you're so precise.
No, it is 27. That's just what I remember them telling me.
Okay.
But for this show, the cast has 31 people.
With all of the big, huge costumes. Like,
oh my gosh.
Dressers, napkins.
Oh yeah, we should talk about that right now. Because they're inanimate objects in this castle, there's all of these things. Madame de la Grandbouche, she is the dresser. I know. This isn't France. Guys, Beauty and the Beast is in France. And so the girl that's playing Madame is, her name is Hunter. She's also new to the theater, and her costume is huge. It's like...
Mm-hmm. It's a dresser, so yeah.
It has real dressers coming out of it. Like, you can actually put stuff in it. It's like, it's crazy, and she can barely fit through the doors.
Yeah. Well, you're listening to Voice America Kids Network. This is Curtain Call. I'm Sky.
And I'm Haley. So another huge costume is Cogsworth, played by our friend Logan.
And he's done lots of shows. He played Winnie the Pooh, and I wore his costume one time in Tortoise in the Hare.
Yeah, so Logan, he is Cogsworth, like we just said, and his costume is also huge. It's
we got one costume,
large,
and it was, like, so big that it wouldn't fit through any of the doors. So they had to, like, remake it out of cardboard because it was a big wooden costume. Mm-hmm. It was, like, beautiful. It had, like, this swingy thing for the clock.
The pendulum.
Yeah. Go ahead and be all fancy with your words, Haley. But so the swingy thing, it was, like, in there, and it was all, like, really pretty, and it was all, like, amazing. And they had a glass door that you could open to get to it, and it was really cool. But it wouldn't fit through any of the doors. It
wouldn't even fit through the main front door, so.
So they had to remake it out of cardboard, which it looks probably just as amazing. It hasn't been, they're going to paint it and everything, but it's, like, so far it looks really good, too.
Yeah, so those are the big costumes. There's also Lumiere, played by Patrick Moyes. We've already talked about him a lot. He's been in a lot of plays.
And Babette is the feather duster. She's my friend Natalie Kilker. And something that she did was, like, she's such a good dancer that she auditioned to go to New York for, like, this acting, this dancing camp. And it was taught by the Rockettes. And she got in out of, like, 40 people. I mean, there was 40 people there. And then, so, and, like, out of all the auditions worldwide, she was one of the people to get in. So she's, like, an amazing dancer.
So there's a lot of wonderful people in this cast. There's a lot of new people, actually. This is probably the biggest turnout of new characters that we've, like, new people that we've ever had. We have lots of new faces, but it's really nice we get to meet a lot of new people.
Yeah, there was a lot of people that auditioned, too.
Oh, yeah, there was, like, normally there's, like, 20, 30 people that audition.
Yeah.
It was, like, 60 or 70 auditioners.
It was sort of like Cinderella because like
there was 100, there was about 90 to 110 people that auditioned for Cinderella.
And it was really funny because on the first day there was only like 8 people and then on the second day there was like 60. So
it was like crazy. A whole bunch of people filled the whole entire theater. But yeah, it's a really big cast, but it's nice even though we have to cram everybody into the adult dressing room. In the tech booth, in the children's dressing room, in the office. People have stations everywhere. I'm in the regular dressing room, so I'm lucky. I don't have to be changing across the street and then run all the way over to get
well,
backstage.
Well, they don't actually change in the street.
Well, no, they change in the building across the across the way. So I'm glad I'm not in there, though, because it's kind of a kind of a walk to get over there.
Yeah. But then I think this is really good that we have a lot of new people because anybody that goes there always say that that's the best theater they've ever been at. There's, like, so many nice people. Everything's run so, like, so good. There's, like, amazing people there. So I think they're going to come back a lot, and we're going to have a lot of new faces in the shows. It's going to be really cool.
Yeah, and, oh, we should talk about, we're not going to reveal the show yet because it would definitely ruin how amazing it is if we told you everything that happened. But
yeah, and you should come see it.
You should totally come see it. We'll tell you all the dates. It's coming up very soon. But there's a little secret about how the rose petals fall off of the magical rose, which everybody knows Beauty and the Beast is based off of this one rose that because the prince was spoiled, he got turned into a beast. And by the time the last petal falls, he is a beast forever, so...
And all the objects become objects, and,
So, what they do to make the petals fall off is that behind the little shelf where the rose is, there's a huge, giant, mechanical thing, but it's more like... I don't even know how to explain this. There's, like, wires, and there's, like, strings, and there's all this weird stuff wrapping around everywhere. And one of our friends, Allison, who is tech, she stands behind there. There's a little tube. And if she blows on the tube really hard, then one of the petals will fall off.
Really?
So it's this huge system that works out, and so it's really cool.
Yeah. Is there, like, more than one tube, or did she just use,
Yeah, there's three tubes that are on there, and then it makes all the petals fall off.
Oh, that's so cool.
And then, we should mention these dates, so you can come see it. Right now, we are actually having our tech week.
It's going to start today. And tech week, you guys probably can figure it out by the name. but it's when we like do everything just for the tech, and that's when we start the lighting and everything like that.
So Beauty and the Beast, it opens on August 26th. So everybody come see it, please. And it closes on September 11th.
And on August 26th, they have this big, huge thing, and everyone brings in the best food in the world that you could just eat.
They have a big opening night reception, and it's just amazing food, and the cast isn't allowed to eat it, so we're really jealous. But guys, please come so you can enjoy the food and the just the amazing show that we're putting on.
Techs are allowed to eat it.
Well, anyways, just come see the show August 26th to September 11th. For more information, you can call 480-837-9661 with the extension 3.
And then you just buy your tickets and come see the show. It's going to be amazing.
So we hope you guys can come down, and we'll see you then.
So let's take a break. I'm Sky.
And I'm Haley. You're listening to Curtain Call on Voice America Kids.
We're making it easier to listen to the Voice America Talk Radio Network live wherever you go on iPhone, BlackBerry, or Android. Download it from the Apple iTunes App Store, BlackBerry App World, or Android Market.
Do you believe in the supernatural? Well, some do and some don't, which is why Beyond the Third Dimension looks at both sides. You have one host who believes in ghosts, while the other can't think of anything more ridiculous. Put them together and you get some great discussion and some real discoveries and exploration of the paranormal, and then some. Tune in to Beyond the Third Dimension, airing Tuesdays at 4 p.m. Pacific, 7 p.m. Eastern on Voice America Kids. And try not to be afraid of things that go bump in the night.
Follow the Voice America Talk Radio Network on Twitter. We're at Voice America TRN. You'll get the latest fix on what's happening with our shows, this week's featured guests, and general happenings that you should know about at the Voice America Talk Radio Network. Now you don't have to miss anything when you're away from your home or office. Just go to twitter.com/Voice America TRN or follow along with us at Voice America TRN, the Voice America Talk Radio Network. We're on the cutting edge of social media.
Can you keep up?
Kids face very tough and very real issues every single day. It can be bad. It can be ugly. Now there's something good that can help. Tune in to The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly on the Voice America Kids channel. We'll discuss the issues and provide solutions and connections to solutions that you will be able to use. Our show goes right to the heart of today's kids and beyond. Your parents will probably want to listen in too. The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly airs Mondays at 5 p.m. Pacific Time, 8 Eastern on Voice America Kids. You just love your pets. But sometimes they can get to be a handful. And just when you think you have them under control, that's when things get, well, crazy. For help, tune in to Paws Around the World. You'll get the inside secrets on keeping your pet the friend it's supposed to be, along with stories to keep you warm and fuzzy. Listen Fridays at 5 p.m. Pacific, 8 p.m. Eastern on Voice America Kids.
This is Curtain Call on the Voice America Kids channel. Now, back to the show.
Welcome back to the program on Voice America Kids Network. I'm Haley.
And I'm Sky. This is Curtain Call.
So now we're going to talk about the movie that, well, Sky saw.
It's called The Smurfs, with little blue adorable little people that are so cute. I like them.
Yeah, I didn't get to see this movie, sadly, but hopefully when it comes out on DVD or Netflix or whatever, I'll be able to see it. But this movie was apparently amazing, as Sky keeps telling me.
Yes,
it was really good. The commercials are amazing. I mean, my brother really likes those commercials because he keeps begging my mom to go to McDonald's so he can get the little toy inside the kids' meal because they're Smurfs.
Connor, so, Haley's little brother Connor, is so adorable.
So it has to be great if he likes those toys that much. So
yeah, Connor sees it, so that means Connor wants to see it, so you should want to see it, because
yes,
Connor, it's Connor. He's so, like, amazing. Yeah.
So The Smurfs was directed by a guy named Raja Gosnell. So he's apparently a new director. Yes. The story was based on Smurfs, pretty much, like the original show Smurfs, so really, really, really old. And now we're going to talk about the plot a little bit. So
okay.
Sky, you can do that because I didn't get to see it.
So it starts out with, like, the Smurfs, and they're always happy. Like, everybody's always so happy. And each Smurf has, like, a different trait that they have, like, in them. And they think that that's the only thing they could be. Like, clumsy. Nobody wants him around because he always breaks everything. And there's just, like, a bunch of different things. And there's only one girl Smurf in the whole entire thing. And she was created by the evil mastermind that was, like, he always tries to kill the Smurfs or, like, capture the Smurfs. Hmm. And, okay. And then so, but, like, they have a secret world, and it's, like, this little thing that they could go through, and it makes their whole entire land totally invisible. And then they have, like, one father Smurf or something, and he's, like,
Papa Smurf.
Right, so he's like, yeah, he's everybody's papa, and everybody else is just like twins or something, I don't know. But then so, and they're always singing this really song, really annoying songs, like la 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 la, sing a happy song, and they like, it keeps going over and over and over, and you're just like, be quiet please, because it gets so annoying. And so yeah, and that's why the evil villain doesn't like them too much. That's one of the big reasons. And then, so, during this whole thing, Clumsy goes out, and the evil villain sees him. So, he chases him, and, of course, Clumsy wasn't thinking, and he went into the secret land, so he could, like, find out where it was, and he could go through the little secret thing, too. So, then he started, like, running around and trying to step on everything, and all the Smurfs got out of the thing, and they all had to go and find a new home, and, so then on their way to go and, like, to a different place to find a new home, they took the wrong path, and they jumped into this little fountain thing. And then they ended up in New York City.
And this is where the real people come in now, I'm guessing.
Yes.
And before we get any further, we should probably mention the actors in this. Some of the main Smurfs, actually. Papa Smurf is played by Jonathan Winters.
Okay.
And the Smurfette, which is the girl Smurf, is played by Katy Perry. It's pretty cool. Oh, and there's a lot of Smurfs, but one of the ones that I realized, because I don't
it's like
I'm not
a famous person.
Me and Sky aren't really good with names, as you can already tell if you've listened to our previous
shows. Sky is not good with names. Haley, if you notice, Haley says all of the hard names that are hard to pronounce, cuz I'll say them wrong.
But anyways, some of the popular people that we actually know. Jeff Foxworthy, he's the host of Are You Smarter Than a Fifth Grader? That's pretty much the only place we know him from, because me and Sky don't get out much.
No.
So he's the handy Smurf. George Lopez is the grumpy Smurf.
And he's really funny in the movie.
And I just think it's so funny that George Lopez is, because he was in the movie Rio, and he was really funny. I just love George Lopez when he's animation characters.
Yeah, I just saw Rio, like, a week ago. It was really good.
And then, oh, some of the live actors are Neil Patrick Harris. He plays Patrick Winslow, which is the main character. And we will soon be talking about him when the Smurfs end up in New York. And his wife, I guess you could say, is played by Jemma Mays, and she is Grace Winslow.
And she played Emma in Glee, so it was really
we love
cool
her so much.
She did that.
Yes.
Yeah.
The one with OCD, we all know Emma.
Yeah.
Well, you're listening to Voice America Kids Network. I'm Haley.
And I'm Sky. This is Curtain Call.
So, anyways, back to the plot of Smurfs.
So the Smurfs end up in New York, and it's only like five of them. And Clumsy is one of them, so everything could be like messed up and everything. But they're running around the town, and they can't find anywhere to go. So then they run into, like, this guy that works he's like a waiter or something. And the waiter brings them to this other guy, and he's like a rich guy that works for a magazine thing or something like that. Sorry, confusing. Let's just say the Smurfs went home with this magazine guy. And so he was like, that's the main character. And so they stay over at their house, and everything's okay and everything, and they're all getting along, and like, they're not afraid of them, and they know who they are, and they can, like, talk to them and stuff like that. I don't know. And so then, like, the husband doesn't really want the Smurfs there. He likes them, but he doesn't really want them there. But his wife really does, and his wife has a baby on the way. So the Smurfs go, and they make them a big nursery, and it's, like, really pretty, but they switch out the husband's office for the nursery. And the husband was like, no, I want my office. But then finally he decides that it was just going to be in his room and it was all going to be okay. And then the evil villain guy, he figures out how to come to New York. And so he gets in and he goes and he finds the Smurf with, like, this tracker thing that he built, like a Smurf tracker thing, majigger. And, so then he was trying to get DNA from them so he could, like, become the most powerful man in the world and make it, like, he has this little thing that he could put it in and he could be all magical and he has, like, a book of spells and stuff like that. So he goes and he's trying to, like, capture all of the Smurfs and take all of the energy out of them. And he brings them to, like, he builds this huge thing in this little abandoned castle thing that looks totally evil, and he builds it to, like, drain all of the Smurfs' energy, but they'd still be alive, they'd just be really weak. And he takes all of their, like, DNA and everything and puts it into his ring, and he, like, can do whatever he wants with it, and he, like, destroys things and stuff like that. And then, so the Smurfs, the whole movie is pretty much about the Smurfs, like, trying to get away from him. And finally, like, he finds all of them, and they set him up, like, they caught Papa Smurf. And all of the Smurfs went over to find Papa Smurf, and he captured all of them. So then, except for one. And so that one went back and got all of the Smurfs in the whole entire kingdom thing. And they all came, and they started, like, trying to beat him up and everything and, like, get him away and kill the machine thingamajigger. And
are you sure you saw this movie? Because you keep using thingamajigger.
Well, I don't know the name. They didn't actually have a name.
Okay.
I just say thingamajigger a lot. But, so then, and the only way that they can get back is that if there's, like, a blue moon.
Oh, okay. A blue moon, okay, that kind of makes sense. Smurfs, blue.
Yeah.
Okay,
got so it. So then they were all the Smurfs were trapped there, and they had to do this big calculation thing and, like, figure out when the blue moon was gonna come. So finally the blue moon came, they went back to their home, they built a new house thing, and they rebuilt everything in their kingdom. The evil Smurf guy turned good, and he's, like, all happy now and good, and everything was dandy.
Yay! Happy ending. And I have a question. Was the evil guy, was he some sort of character, or was he actually a human?
He was a human.
Okay. So, what did he look like? Was he kind of, like, was he...
He was, like, really weird looking. He had, like, a big nose, and he looked sort of like Arwen on Sweet Life of Zack and Cody.
Okay.
Yeah, but he had, like, a big nose, and it was really weird.
Mm. So, sounds like a really good movie. I really want to see it. There's a lot of movies coming out, actually. Didn't you just see a movie last night?
Yeah, I saw a really good movie called The Help. Mm. And it's sort of about, like, the slaves and how they try to rebel against everybody and, like, tell them how they feel about being slaves and being, like, maids and how they're treated. So that was a really good movie. I cried a bunch of times.
Yeah, so hopefully we'll talk about that movie next week. So stay tuned, and remember to join us next week. And yeah, well, let's take a break. I'm Haley.
And I'm Skye. Keep it right here. You're listening to Voice America Kids.
Find out what's happening on the Voice America Talk Radio Network by keeping up with us on Twitter. You can find us at Voice America TRN.
The Terrence Rogers Show will take the world by storm. The topics are sometimes newsworthy, sometimes personal, as we explore fashion, entertainment, art, and more. Host Terrence Rogers has seen a lot of life experience in his few years of life. It's this experience that allows him to bring a fresh perspective to the table, and he holds nothing back. Tune in to The Terrence Rogers Show every Monday at 3 p.m. Pacific, 6 p.m. Eastern on the Voice America Kids channel. You'll laugh, cry, and most importantly, this show will reach out and touch your life.
we're making it easier to listen to the Voice America Talk Radio Network wherever you go. In addition to listening live, you can check out information about your favorite talk show hosts, discover new talk show personalities, add shows to your list of favorites, and listen to all our show archives on demand. All from your iPhone, BlackBerry, or Android. Download it from the Apple App Store, BlackBerry App World, or Android Market, and get ready to tune in. The Voice America mobile app, powered by Aircast.
What is Take Two? Take two crazy hosts, put them in front of two microphones, and use your two ears to enjoy the fun, times two. Take Two. We'll go back, way back to the favorite TV shows of our childhood. Your parents' childhood. No.
Try again, Chris. Take Two.
We'll take you back to the favorite TV shows of our generation, past and present, and apply them to what's going on in our own lives. Trust us, it'll be a blast. Tune in to Take Two every Monday at 4 p.m. Pacific, 7 p.m. Eastern on the Voice America Kids channel. There is so much going on in the tech field. The Technology Show is here to sort it all out so that you know exactly what you need to get and what you should avoid. In this age of cell phones and text messaging and new discoveries every single day, you need to be informed. We'll bring you previews of new products, technology news, and help you make the right decision when you are out there buying that new MP3 player, cell phone, or mobile device. Don't do a thing until you've tuned in to The Technology Show. Tuesdays at 5 p.m. Pacific, 8 p.m. Eastern on Voice America Kids. What are some of the issues that kids face every day? You'll find out when you tune into the appropriately named Today's Kids. Your hosts are here to open the doors to a forum of all kinds of issues. Nothing is off the table here, and because it's on the Voice America Kids channel, you know you're getting a kid's perspective. Tune in every Friday at 4 p.m. Pacific Time, 7 p.m. Eastern Time for Today's Kids. Your hosts will lead this forum of engaging conversation on Voice America Kids.
Want to know what's going on behind the scenes with your favorite Voice America Talk Radio Network host? How about what's new with our network? Make sure you check out the iRadio blog, a look at what's hot at Voice America and beyond. Visit www.iradioblog.com today. Get the inside scoop on every channel on our network, including breaking news, featured guests, blog posts from our hosts, and much more. Make sure you sign up for our newsletter for even more inside action. Visit iradioblog.com today and stay connected.
This is Curtain Call on the Voice America Kids channel. Now, back to the show.
Welcome back to the program on Voice America Kids Network. I'm Haley.
And I'm Sky. This is Curtain Call.
So now, we're going to talk about a play that we saw at Hale Center Theater. Mm-hmm. And this was actually in Gilbert, Arizona. So the Hale Theater, really nice. They've been out here for 8 years. And they did a production of Little Shop of Horrors.
Uh-huh. And the Hale Theater is in the round.
Mm-hmm. So if you guys don't know what that is, it's a theater where the stage is in the middle and the seats are all around it. So when people are acting, mm-hmm. singing, dancing, they have to move around so their face can be seen by everyone in uh-huh. the audience. And that's a hard thing to do to work like that. Uh-huh. I've only done theater in the round once, and it was a dance number, and we all had areas like around the stage, so we didn't really have to move much ourselves. It was more like the group was like moving, but mm-hmm. just to be standing yeah. there and just saying like a monologue, even, you're just like spinning around pretty much. I don't know how they don't get dizzy.
Mm-hmm. And I think that they did really good at like showing everybody their faces oh, yeah. and everything.
They did an amazing job.
Mm-hmm. And in this particular in the round theater, they had the stage was level. It was like the floor, and all the mm-hmm. seats were raised above it.
So normally the seats are down and the stage is higher up, but this time it was opposite, and it was pretty cool. It was weird because we mm-hmm. had to like look down at it, but it was a different experience, but it was really yeah. fun.
It's better than like tilting your head up.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. But they did like, and the show itself was like amazing. It was really good.
Oh yeah. And also in theaters in the round, you can't have huge sets because people won't be able to see over the walls, so everything's kind of cut off. So there's like a door and a window, but it's kind of like cut off halfway so you can actually see past it, but it looks like there's a door there. It's really cool.
Mm-hmm.
So now we will talk a little bit about the actors in this. Seymour is the main character in Little Shop of Horrors, if you guys haven't seen it, and he works at a flower shop, and mm-hmm. he's really a nobody. He's like a nerd,
mm-hmm.
I guess you could say, and he was played by Chad Campbell.
Uh-huh. And Chad Campbell played one of the main characters in The Man Who Would Be King, a show I teched for, so it was really cool seeing him again.
Mm-hmm. We didn't actually know it was him until after the show was over when they were greeting everybody.
Uh-huh.
And the girl who played Audrey was Elena Beloy. And she, for Audrey, is a really hard character to do because you have to make yourself have, like, a really squeaky voice. And it's, like, really, I don't know, it's a hard character because even when you're singing, you have to have that, like, squeaky voice and you have to act all, like, tiny mm-hmm. like that. For pretty much all characters, you have to, like, really stick with it. And you can't, if you're just, like, acting like that in a monologue and all of a sudden you start singing in your regular voice, it's not going to make sense. So it was probably a really big challenge for her.
Mm-hmm. But she kept with it. She mm-hmm. did good.
Yeah, it was really good. And her costumes are so funny because she's always wearing, like a leopard pattern kind of thing. I guess it's a leopard pattern on every single outfit. Mm-hmm. And a lot of times it's, like, unmatching because she has, like, some of them are, like, big spots and some are, like, little spots. And she always wears, like, neon blue and orange with it or something. It's just, she's really weird.
Yeah.
And
so the dentist.
The dentist, his name was Rob Stewart, and he's actually my mom's friend. They work in the same department, so he's actually the one that told us about it. So thank you, Rob Stewart.
Mm-hmm.
And he was the dentist. The dentist is definitely my favorite character. He's hilarious.
Mm-hmm. I like the plant in any theater.
Ugh. And when we did it at the Fountain Hills Theater, Zach Persevage was the dentist, and he was so hilarious.
Mm-hmm. I didn't get to see it at my theater.
Mm-hmm. But anyways, let's talk about the plot of the show. So it starts out, well, they're in the flower shop, and the manager, oh, his name is Mushnick.
Oh, yes.
And before we get any further, remember we were just talking about in an earlier segment about our friend Nick Maddox, and everybody calls him Mushy. At the Fountain Hills Theater, he played Mushnick. So ever since then, which was like 3-4 years ago, everybody started calling him Mushy, and it just kind of stuck with him.
Mm-hmm.
And his little brother's name is Squishy, for no apparent reason, just because it rhymes
just
with Mushy.
Just because Mushy and Squishy.
Yeah, but anyways.
But his real name is Connor.
Mm-hmm. So they're all in the flower shop, Audrey Seymour and Mushnick, and they're having really terrible business. And nobody ever goes to their flower shop. It's on Skid Row. Nobody ever goes there.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you're listening to Voice America Kids Network. I'm Haley.
And I'm Sky. This is Curtain Call.
So they're at this flower shop on Skid Row. Nobody ever goes there.
Mm-hmm.
There's these three singers, actually. They're like
the narrators of
yeah,
the show.
Yeah, but they kind of sing everything. And they sing Little Shop of Horrors, and they sing a song, and it's like, down on Skid Row, like that.
Mm-hmm.
And they're, like, saying how terrible it is, and there's hobos mm-hmm. everywhere. And so they have no business. And Audrey's boyfriend is the dentist, and he's really mean to her. He always abuses her and, like, hits her and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And so
Seymour, actually, like, he loves Audrey, but Audrey doesn't know it.
Mm-hmm. And so one day, Seymour was going down to this weird Chinese guy on the corner street, and he always goes there every week, picks up some sort of weird plant or whatever. But this time, the guy had nothing to offer.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, there was, like, a total eclipse of the sun. Everything just got dark. And then when all the light came back, there was this new plant that had never been seen before. It was just right there.
Mm-hmm.
And it was somewhat resembling a Venus flytrap.
Uh-huh.
And so he bought it and named it the Audrey 2. He named it after Audrey because he likes her.
Mm-hmm.
And so this is the Audrey 2, and he's trying to feed it, and it won't eat anything. Plant mm-hmm. food, water, nothing.
Uh-huh. And, like, so he puts it in front of the window of the shop that they're that, the, what is it called?
The flower shop.
Oh, yeah, the flower shop. Okay. So he puts it in front of the window at the flower shop, and all these people come in, and they buy everything. There's, like, this one guy that orders, like, 50 roses,
mm-hmm.
and they're just making a bunch of money. And before, they weren't making any money at all. They had no customers.
Mm-hmm. So Mushnick's like, you have to get that plant bigger and brighter because it's starting to droop. You have to feed it something.
Mm-hmm.
So he's trying to figure out what to do, and he accidentally pricks his finger, and a drop of blood falls out, and the plant lifts up his head, and he's like, I need more blood. And he's just, that's what he eats, is blood. And he eats
Yeah,
humans,
like meat.
It and sounds, blood. This kind of sounds like some sort of zombie thing. Now I don't know what we're getting into, but
yeah,
you just have to bear with us because the whole entire show is pretty much about a bloodthirsty plant. But we're just not gonna get too detailed on that part.
But I'm like so scared and wimpy of like everything that. Here, we'll explain it later, so it goes along with the plot.
Yes, and so Seymour, it's like the next day, and all of his fingers have bandages on them because he's been feeding this plant blood.
Mm-hmm.
And
the plant's been getting bigger, too. It's like, it's grown a lot.
And the plant needs more and more food, so the plant says, well, that dentist guy, he's pretty mean to Audrey. You should just get rid of him so you can have Audrey to yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And Seymour was like, I'm not going to kill somebody just to feed it to you, just to get a girl. And so the plant pressures him into it because the plant needs a full meal, which is a human.
Mm-hmm.
So Seymour has this like little gun in a bag and he goes to the dentist and he's going to kill him. But then the dentist grabs the gun and sets him down in the chair and says, you need a root canal. You need all this stuff.
And he's like, I know you're just nervous about the dentist, but it's all going to be okay. And the dentist is like, he only chose to be a dentist because he liked people that are in pain. Mm-hmm. He sang a
song about how when he was a kid he would shoot puppies with BB guns and do all this terrible stuff. And his mom's like, you're gonna be a dentist when you grow up. And he's like, yeah, I'll be a dentist. And there's this huge song about it.
Yeah.
And so he's trying to give Seymour this root canal and he goes and he says, I have to go get the gas. And Seymour goes, oh yeah, I'm gonna get laughing gas so my mouth doesn't hurt anymore. And he goes, no, the gas is for me. So
it's always more fun with laughing gas.
So he makes this, like, helmet and with, like, the laughing gas, and it's like a drug, and then he can't get it off, and he has so much of it that he dies from it.
Mm-hmm.
And then so Seymour feeds the dentist to the plant, and this is where Sky freaked out because they had, like, these fake body parts that looked like they were real.
I don't know what happened during this part.
Yeah, she didn't watch it, but, like, these, like, body parts in a sack that he, like, threw to the plant. It was kind of gross, but Sky didn't watch it.
I dove into Haley's shoulder.
Mm-hmm. And then later on in the show, Mushnick was killed by Seymour and fed to the plant. Mm-hmm. And then all these people just kept being killed and fed to the plant, and Seymour couldn't live with himself.
And then so Seymour went, and he was like, I'm not feeding you any more humans, so I'm just going to go to the meat shop and buy you some meat.
Mm-hmm. And then Audrey walks in when nobody's there, and the plant tries getting Audrey, and Seymour sees through the window. He runs in and saves her, but she's about half dead because he, like, bit her in the stomach, I guess. And then she's just, like, about to die.
She's like, to keep the plant alive, you gotta feed me to him. I'm gonna die soon. You gotta feed me to her.
So. Yeah, and then so he's like, Audrey's just like, if you feed me to the plant, then every time you look at the plant, you can think of me. So Seymour feeds Audrey to the plant, and then he gets eaten by the plant, too.
Uh-huh.
He jumps in with her.
Yeah, and then this big thing comes, and since the Audrey 2 was such a big deal, like, everybody comes and they start taking clippings off of him.
Mm-hmm, like scientists.
Uh-huh.
And once they get the clippings, they sell it to everybody in the world, and then those little plants turn into giant plants and take over the world.
So, and everybody dies.
That's the end of the show. Everybody in the world dies, and the plant takes over the world. Uh-huh. It's a nice ending, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the plants were really cool, by the way.
Yeah.
Like, they were so big and really cool.
Yeah. Well, before we leave, we'd like you guys to email us. If you go to voiceamericakids@yahoo.com, you can email us. Or you can go to our Facebook page. It's just called Curtain Call. Mm-hmm. First name, last name, Curtain Call. We'll be uploading some pictures soon. You can see future posts about our show. So please email us or check out our Facebook page. And we'll see you next time.
All right. Thanks so much for joining us. You've been listening to Curtain Call. I'm Sky.
And I'm Haley. This is Voice America Kids.
And scene. Thanks for tuning in to Curtain Call. Please join your hosts for another show next week on the Voice America Kids channel. Until then, break a leg. The future of online TV is here. View exclusive content from your favorite talk radio hosts and new programs that you can't see anywhere else. Visit VoiceAmerica.tv today.